welcome back to hour number two of Sports Talk. Hour number one was pretty impactful, so will hour number two, and that's because we've got Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville, the fit specialist. They are located in the suburban shopping center near Barnes and Noble. And, Doc, I'm sure you're wearing some New Balance right now.
Yes, I am, Jimmy. I've been running around between radio and television, listening and watching and fielding some texts and calls from my colleagues about what has happened this afternoon at Tennessee. So definitely got the New Balances on, comfort, and obviously we've got it's going to, you know, perfect fit every time. They got great apparel for you, great different styles. You want to get back in shape following the holidays, and hopefully people are staying healthy and fit. And in order to stay fit, you need to get out and do some walking, maybe even some exercise, and the folks at New Balance will take great care of you.
Doc, your reaction to the firing today of Jeremy Pruitt, as well as nine others on staff?
Well, Jimmy, as you well know, several of us who do this sport for a living and travel had heard the accusations and heard the innuendo and the people whispering this was happening, that was happening. Like most of us, we hate being involved in negativity, but thankfully an investigation was carried out, today we got the results of what Bond, Shenick, and King had at least part of what they had found. And, you know, I think like many big Vol Nation people, I'm angry, I'm embarrassed. But I'm also proud of the fact that President Randy Boyd and Chancellor Donde Plowman and Athletic Director Philip Fulmer would stand up there and tell you, hey, here's what they found. Here's what it is. We're letting these people go. For Chancellor Plowman to use the words stunning and shocking, I admire their honesty. I mean, rarely do you see administrators at that level, and I've been around a long time, so have you, Jimmy and Vance. You hear them being that open and honest. And she said multiple level one, level two violations. We have no idea what the NCAA is going to say, but so many people involved, so many violations, and they've basically had to cut the head of the snake off today and try to start over. And quite honestly, I'm thankful they've got someone like Kevin Steele, who we both know a long time, to step in the interim, because he brings a lot to the table, and right now that table needs a lot of help.
So let me ask you about this in regard to the athletic director search. They hired the Parker search firm on Friday, so obviously they knew the direction they were going. Do you think that there needs to be a sense of urgency to hire an athletic director, to then hire a head coach? Or do you think there's a pretty good chance that Kevin Steele will be the acting head coach this fall?
Well, I would go for the latter, only because it's going to take a while for so many things to shake out with this investigation, and then it goes to different levels within the university and then within the NCAA. And I think the last thing Tennessee needs to do right now is rush. They've made, as we've all discussed, some of the it's been a circus, and some of the mistakes that have been made in hiring, it just has not been good. I think that, I tell you what, I feel pretty good knowing that, I don't know Randy Boyd that well, but I have some friends of mine who talk about what an incredible, what integrity he has and what a stand-up guy he is. And obviously today I appreciated his presence and what he had to say about integrity. If you can't win the right way, you don't belong here. And I couldn't have said it better. I think that's wonderful for him to say from the top, from the man who's running the show for the University of Tennessee as a president of the Consolidated University. I think that he and the chancellor and then the search firm, this should be something you take your time. There are candidates out there. Those of us who travel and do college football, we see these young diamonds in the rough. We see these young coaches. You don't have to be a coordinator. To be able to become a head coach, we saw years ago, I talk about how, what Clemson did, when the Clemson athletic director, Terry Don Phillips said, he said, we're winning 8 and 9 games, but I need somebody that really is going to take this program and take it to the next level and be here for a long time. So he, He wanted to find a communicator, someone that could connect, someone that could embrace and inspire the community, the fans, the donors, you know, and get everybody on the same page. So he went with Dabo Swinney, 38-year-old wide receivers coach who had never been a coordinator, but he was a great communicator and connector with the players and with the community, which is exactly what needs to happen. Find they're out there, but let's not rush. Let's not rush to find an athletic director and a head coach, and let's get it right. And as Philip Fulmer said, the next coach should be here 10 years. You get someone that's going to come in here and say, let's put Tennessee back where it belongs, atop college football. But now we're going to have to overcome the shadows and everything involved with this issue, multiple issues, and then, of course, what the NCAA has. You know, I don't know how many coaches right now are going to want to step in to the unknown. I think it's important to get the facts, get the information, get the investigation completed, get all the information out there, see what the NCAA has to say. They're not known for acting very quickly. And so it may be a situation where Kevin Steele – hey, by the way, you still got some really good assistant coaches who want to be here. You know, T. Martin loves this place. You know, he's like Philip Fulmer. He loves this place. He's had the best moments of his life happen wearing the Power T helmet. He came here for a reason. There are people on that staff who bleed orange, and Kevin Steele bleeds orange. I think you got some people here that you could go through the year and let the dust settle and see where it is, rather than trying to hustle and make a mistake. The next hire, next person that's going to be in charge of the program, athletics or as a head coach, needs to be the right. You cannot make another mistake.
Doc, first off, I've been meaning to tell you that in my frequent and top rotation of shoes is the New Balance Zante trainer with the fresh foam, and it's fantastic. Use it all the time. So another ringing endorsement for New Balance Knoxville. Just wanted to pass that along.
Absolutely. Good for you. Good for you.
So, Doc, so who would you if they came to you and said, all right, give me some names, who should we contact? Who would Dr. Jerry Punch suggest Tennessee reach out to in terms of head coach whenever they do get to that point of hiring an AD first?
Well, you know, here again, I don't want to not answer the question. It's a great question, but I would like it, you know, rather than saying it's this guy, this guy, and this guy. I mean, this is a great job. Tennessee's a great school, fabulous school, great job. It has the history. You can win here. We've seen it, what happened at Arkansas and what happened at Missouri when Eli Drinkwitz went there. You can get the right guy and come in and change the culture and win. Now, what's happened recently is that it's important to score a lot of points. You coaches that have come in and scored a lot of points, you know, have been able to, you know, to be successful quickly, you know. And so that's why Dan Mullen, I think, you know, was able to turn things around at Florida, you know, Dabo Swinney at Clemson, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, Ryan Day at Ohio State, on and on and on. You need to find, I think, someone, I mean, that can do that. And is there a head coach, is there an outstanding head coach or an offensive coordinator that can come to Tennessee and light it up, that people, that recruits will be dying to come play for? You and I both know there are several names already right now coaching in the SEC that probably could be swayed to come. And then you get down a really good defensive coordinator. Doesn't have to lock anybody down, but just limit them. Let them score 20 or 25 points. Who's going to beat you? Who's going to beat you with the kind of talent Tennessee can get? I think you can do that. Or you can go in another direction where you get a younger head coach, you know, like Oklahoma did with Lincoln Riley. You go in, and there's several people that I would have on a short list of people that I've seen. Here's the difference. Kirk Herbstreit and I had a discussion one time. He said, you know, I wish some of these search committees would, not that we need to be involved, not that we don't have enough to do, but now but we see these coaches. We go see these coaches every week. We see them at practice, or we didn't this year, but we see them at practice. We see them with their players. We see them with their families. We see them with alumni. We see them in several different environments. A lot of times we even go to dinner with them, you know, to a restaurant or to their homes. So we see some of the guys. We know who's phony and who's real. And we also have an idea who we think would be a good fit. That's why I think over the years, you know, we told people years ago when Lincoln Riley was an assistant coach at East Carolina, this kid was destined for greatness. And guess what? He's done pretty well. So, I think there are those out there. Do you go with the head coaching route of someone that can come in that's proven that can run a program at the SEC level and let them score points and get a really solid recruiter as a defensive coordinator and sort of lock people down who beat you? Do you go get a rising star? Do you get a young head coach who's just taken a program over because he was promoted for that program? And there's two or three really good names out there that would come here. And I think the key is going to be you need to get someone in here. Again, I'm going back to what I said before, that is a communicator. That can connect with the players, with the alumni, with the fans and the community and embrace everything. You got to be able to do that. That's what Tennessee deserves. And I think that's where you need to go. And you cannot make that decision quickly.
Doc, how important do you think being a past member of the Tennessee family should be in their hire of either an AD or a head coach? Because that means a lot to a lot of the fans that you hear from.
Well, I hear again, I think a lot of fans want you to understand and appreciate what Tennessee's about. And I don't want to kick someone when they're down, but I think there have been some coaches like the one that was just let go today that didn't really comprehend. And Philip Fulmer, and I know for a fact that Philip Fulmer tried his darndest to help Jeremy Pruitt understand what the culture here is at Tennessee, why it's so important to the fans, why it's so important just over and above the fact that they love the school, but why it's important that we're here and what they've done here in the past. I don't think Coach Pruitt really grasped that. I think Coach Fulmer even had people within the university that have been around a long time sit down with Pruitt to talk with him about, hey, let me explain to you why it's important here, to try to educate him. So it's important. That's someone that's been a part of the program in the past or has that connection. You know, I think that would be helpful. It shouldn't limit your search, but there are a few out there maybe that have had connections in the past and understand what it takes. But if you got a chance to get a really top-notch, you know, coach, I'm going to say this right now. I'm not a fan of getting NFL coaches. I'm just not a fan of NFL coaches who have no college experience coming and coaching at the college level. I think there's a disconnect when it comes to recruiting and players. I think also the other way, as I said before, you know, if Nick Saban, Lou Holtz, and Steve Spurrier can be so successful in college but can't go get it done in the pros, because in the pros it isn't about rah-rah and emotion. In the pros it's about X's and O's. Those guys, you know, punch a clock, you know. But in college you've got to connect with people, you know, which is, I think, what the most successful, the Ryan Days of this world and the Lincoln Rileys and Dabo Sweeneys do. They connect with people. I think that's one of the reasons that Kevin Steele, in my opinion, is an incredible choice. He is basically giving for his school, coming back to Tennessee as the interim head coach, being able to say, I'm going to do what I can. This is where I played. And if you look at Kevin Steele's background, by the way, just as, you know, where has he been? Who's he coached with? Well, he won two national championships at Nebraska. He went to the Carolina Panthers where they won the division and beat the Cowboys. His linebacking crew that he coached there were outstanding in the NFL. He went to Florida State with Bobby Bowden, pretty good coach, and Jimbo Fisher down there. You know, Nick Saban in Alabama, they were fairly successful, you know, and so, and he went to Clemson with Dabo Sweeney. So everywhere he's been, the programs have been elite programs at that level that have been either winning national championships or about to. And so he comes home with that pedigree. I mean, how could you not appreciate that?
Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN, is appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. When we come back, we'll have more with Vince Farrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
I worry what you just heard was, give me a lot of bacon and eggs. Give me all the bacon and eggs you have.
We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Farrar. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville, the fit specialist. Doc, you mentioned that you felt like Tennessee in a coaching search should hire somebody from the college ranks. What about, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on a guy like Bill O'Brien. I'm not saying they're going to hire him, but he coached in college, then went to the NFL. Do you see that as a mitigating circumstances as to why you might hire Bill O'Brien?
Well, I don't see that. I just think it's important to have a good fit. And here again, you know, everybody has their opinions, and there are people who know Bill O'Brien as an outstanding offensive coach, and he did a nice job in terms of his connection with the players. But at the Texans, at Penn State, I don't know. You know, I think someone needs to come in here and be able to really wow the community and embrace the alumni, embrace the donors, embrace the culture. And I'm not sure that it's a certain personality trait, someone that's really outgoing and engaging. And I think Bill O'Brien is an excellent coach. I don't see him as that outgoing and that engaging, and the person that can come in here and do that. I think it's got to be the right fit. I think, in the right hole, the square peg in a square hole, I don't think that's the hole that matches Tennessee, my personal opinion. I also don't think Pete Carroll, for example. Take Pete Carroll at USC and now at the Seahawks. His personality, his charisma, his ability to reach out to players and the community, the things he did at USC, you know, were hard to replace when he left. And he went to the Seahawks and was able to take somewhat of a culture, but yet he embraced a lot of college kind of themes there and connected with the players, and it worked. So, but I don't think that's a situation. It needs to be the right person, in my opinion, and the right personality to come to Tennessee.
As far as the search for an athletic director, John Gilbert was here before. He's at East Carolina. Mark Ingram's at UAB. Do you have any thoughts on an athletic director?
I don't. I know that there are people who have been here in the past who understand what this university is about. I certainly think they should be given a shot to be looked at. I'm hoping that the search firm will take into consideration that local knowledge is important, knowing the university, knowing the footprint, already knowing some of the key donors and key people, but also understanding what it means to be a Vol. And I think those two you mentioned, there's a couple of others that have left and that were in the athletic department before, that some of the people who have been at UT a long time, would tell you, hey, I love this guy. Every time he was an athletic associate AD or an assistant AD, and every time he came through our department, he'd make an effort to come talk to us. I think that's important. People who are that kind of that have that kind of charisma and want to be a leader, but also understand what this university is about. I think now it's important to get someone that is the perfect fit, that you like. They don't have to have been here. I understand that. There's some really good ADs out there that have never been to Tennessee. But I think it has to be the right fit for the community and to work within the system with Chancellor Plowman, and President Boyd. And it's got to come in here and say, okay, I want to do what's right for this community. I want to take this coach, whoever we bring in here, and I want to build this thing back where it needs to go. But they also need to understand what the university's about and where it was at one time. You know, you shouldn't have to go pick up a book and read about, I guess a lot, maybe some people will, about, General Nealon and Johnny Majors and Philip Fulmer, because what they did, it was a different era, I understand. But they came in and they certainly made a difference. And when Tennessee went into play somewhere, and I was doing games back in the end of the Majors era and when Fulmer's era began, when Tennessee went into town to play somewhere, people realize, hey, the Vols are here, man. We better strap it on. We're gonna get kicked. They're gonna come at us. They want to run the ball. I think that attitude, that swagger, that confidence level needs to come from the very top. And I think now, from what I saw today, I totally understand and believe that Randy Boyd and Chancellor Plowman have that, and Philip Fulmer, who's willing to turn the reins over, they're looking for that kind of person.
That's Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. When we come back, we'll have more with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Staff. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio WNML to keep up with breaking sports news. Now, back to Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar, Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN, our guest. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville.
Doc, back to the head coaching hire. You've talked about needing to find the right fit and some of those characteristics. Today, both Randy Board and Donnie Plowman were talking about integrity an awful lot during the press conference. Do you think that would rule out any consideration of the fans' choice, Hugh Freeze?
You know, I personally think that I believe that we're in a world where we need to need to be able to forgive people and give people second. I believe in second and third chances. I think everybody that's listening today, myself included, on this, we've all had second chances or third chances in life because we've made mistakes. What Hugh Freeze did was a horrible mistake. I think he's tried to right that wrong by going to Liberty and doing things the right way. That's going to be up to. That's going to be up to the SEC commissioner. I will say this, you know, the SEC conference commissioners try to protect their universities. They worry about things that have happened. They also worry about whatever, when the NCAA comes after someone or someone's been caught doing something. I mean, the SEC commissioner basically kept Bruce Pearl from getting a job for a year at ESPN. They stepped in and said, Let's be careful about who you hire up there. We don't want someone coming in there and being a voice, and now they've had a violation. And when he goes to do a ball game, all the publicity is about what happened with him and not about the game itself. And Bruce Pearl understood that, and he basically, you know, even though he didn't want to not work, he agreed to, hey, let's give this another year. And he did. He waited another year, and then ESPN hired him as an announcer. He did a really nice job and then proved himself to the commissioners of the SEC and others that it wasn't going to be about him. It was going to be about college basketball. He ended up getting a job at Auburn. I think that time does heal. And so I don't know if there's been enough time. I think Hugh Freeze is an outstanding coach, offensive coach, and made a big enough mistake that maybe he learned he's not going to make that again. He kept his family together, which is also something to be proud of, I think, for him. And who knows? But I think that a lot of the fans would like to see him because of what he could do offensively. Imagine if you had Hugh Freeze, you know, running the offense or head coach. You had someone like Kevin Steele who can recruit anybody, anywhere, anytime, and basically running what would be not a lockdown, but a defense that can sort of limit people what they can score. Who's going to beat you? You're going to score 45, 50 points a game. Maybe Alabama. You know, you saw the Ole Miss Alabama game, but I don't think Georgia and Florida is going to beat you if you're scoring 50 points a game. If you can put that many points on the board, and who's not going to want to play for a coach like that? Who's not going to want to play for, you know, for Lane Kiffin or someone like that? That's going to, what quarterback or receiver is going to turn that down, especially with a power T on your helmet? And so who knows? I think there are some options out there, but it's got to be, again, as we heard them say, integrity. If you can't win the right way, you don't belong here. And I think that's what needs to be put on the first line that said to any coach that wants to be considered. Is it what Randy Boyd said? It is about integrity, and it has to be going forward.
Doc, when you look at the situation with Tennessee in recruiting, they have 19 signees. They have two grad transfers, at least at this point. Big Cat Bryant coming in from Auburn, Hendon Hooker coming in from Virginia Tech. That leaves only four spots available. Do you expect Tennessee more likely to go into the transfer portal to fill out the remaining four rather than trying to get high school kids before the signing day the first Wednesday in February?
Well, you pretty much do, Jimmy. You think that's probably the good place to look because a lot of people are jumping in the transfer portal. You know, they're looking for an opportunity. And some of these kids that are pretty good athletes that have not ever gotten to play in the SEC, here's a prime opportunity for them to get to play, you know, on national television or get in the best conference in college football. Are one of the best conferences in college football. So I think that, you know, I think that that's a good. And here again, you don't know how many defections you may have. I mean, it's easy for kids today to enter the transfer portal, but you don't realize a lot of those kids don't have a place to transfer to. And when they get somewhere, they realize maybe I shouldn't have done this. You know, I should just have stayed put. Especially now that it looks like Tennessee is going to try to do things. You know, if you have a Kevin Steele who loves this place and grew up under the Johnny Majors and Philip Fulmer watch. And, you know, if you have T. Martin, for example, you know, if he, and you know how much he loves this place, he came here for a reason. And that's a pretty good nucleus. They got, you know, got some pretty good people that are former Tennessee players on that staff. You know, maybe it wouldn't be hard to get someone to come in the transfer portal, or get or keep some of the kids that were thinking about getting in the transfer portal to stay here.
I always leave a press conference like that when they have multiple people asking questions with about a dozen more questions I would like to ask. But here's one I don't know the answer to. I wonder if Kevin Steele will be allowed to hire coaches and extend the contracts of current coaches whose agreements end January the 31st. Do you think he will have that authority?
Well, I think that Philip Fulmer and Kevin Steele together should have that authority. I think it's a situation where I think you heard Philip Fulmer's how much he respects Kevin Steele, and I think that if you don't give people an authority to be able to extend a contract, then people will come in and take your best coaches. There's a lot of people in the SEC that would like to have at least two or three assistant coaches that Tennessee still has sitting here today. Like, would have them tomorrow if they would go. I think that's important. You've identified who did wrong. You've identified who did right and weren't involved. And I think you reward those who stood by and did what they could for the university and did it the right way and abided by the rules by extending their contract. So in that case, I think, you can't name someone an interim head coach and then not give them the power to do what they need to do to be able to keep the program, going. And I think if I know Kevin Steele, here's the thing. The funny part is that Kevin Steele, that's not funny. Kevin Steele is about integrity. When Kevin Steele, for those of us who have known him a long time, and I've known him since 1988, but, when he took the Baylor job, a lot of people told him, don't do that. You're a rising star in coaching. You're a linebacker coach. You're a coordinator. You can name your tune in about 2 years. Don't take that Baylor job. It's a dead-end job. He goes out there and finds out that school was doing a lot of things they shouldn't have been doing, so he stops it and cleans it up. But he realized that was sort of his death knell. He wasn't going to get players for a few years, and he wasn't going to win because he wanted to clean it up. But he didn't throw them under the bus. And as a result, he had a pretty poor experience at one time as a head coach. He deserves better than that, and I think Tennessee will give him the opportunity to show what he can do to help his school.
Yeah, they definitely should allow that and rather than hamstring him. All right, let's go to Lance. Lance, you're on with Dr. Jerry Punch.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Fine, Lance.
Good. Hey, I'm kind of laughing listening to everybody talk about integrity and football because of a recruiting integrity. There is no such thing. You are kidding yourself. The reason he didn't do any good at Baylor because he tried to do it the right way. I agree with that. He didn't do well. He tried to clean it up. If you think Nick Saban, if you think Dabo Swinney, if you think these top programs, anybody knows T. Higgins' family? Just check into it. You think he went over there without anything? It's a joke. Everyone's doing it. And for them to sit up there in that Paris conference and talk about integrity about people, just because you paid a player, which some people think you should do anyway, you don't think these other top coaches are doing it? I think it's laughable. And if you believe that, then you probably believe Jeffrey Epstein killed himself too. So I just think it's a joke. I think it's Tennessee lost too many games, so we had to figure out a way to fire Jeremy Pruitt so we don't have to pay. If he's winning, this never comes up. I think it's laughable. I really do.
Okay, let's go to Alan. Alan, you're on Sports Talk with Doc Punch.
Well, hey, guys.
Hey, Alan.
My recommendation is Tom Allen of Indiana. Given that Tom's my first name and Allen's my middle name, you can't go wrong.
There you go.
But I like the
track record.
I like the fire he has, and he's done a pretty good job at Indiana. Anyway, so the prior caller sort of stole my thunder, but I'm gonna give my question a try anyway. So there's people like me that want to believe there's no cheating in football, and that what happened here is we had some of our people cheat and they got caught and then the consequences. There's people like the prior caller who's probably more right than me that everybody cheats and it's just the ones who get caught who get in trouble. So So that's just what happened to us. Or maybe there's a third one where everybody cheats some, but there's some lines that maybe they're not written, but everybody knows, well, you don't go over this line, and we went over that line. I don't want to put any of you on the spot on Tennessee. You may not know, and if you know, you may not want to share, but maybe just discuss those three options and in general, what do you think happens when people get caught cheating? Is it they're the only one cheating, or they're the only one that got caught, or they went over an unwritten line that other people don't go over?
I'm kind of in camp number three. I'm not going to say everybody. I would say there are – look, there are 340 programs in men's basketball. I don't think everybody's cheating in men's basketball. I do think there are some that come very close to the line, go over the line. But it's kind of like if the speed limit's 50, did you go 55 or did you go 125? So, I think it's probably closer to your third option. Doc, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, and I don't disagree with the previous caller either, with Lance, what he had to say. I think this compensation, whatever you want to call it, I think it happens. It happens a lot more frequently in college football and college sports. At some of the major institutions that are winning, I think that's it's like the speed limit's 50, and they're going 65 or 70, and it doesn't get noticed. But when you have what happened at Tennessee, which means they passed the highway patrolman at 110, it's hard not to notice. Are others stretching it? Sort of like, you know, in Congress, some people are willing to stretch the truth a little bit to get an agenda passed. That happens. It's sort of like, you know, every day. You know, it's a standard operating procedure, and it's accepted. You know, and I think there are certain things where you allow little things to go to little. You go above and beyond, or to the edge, or a little bit beyond in terms of some recruiting situations, and it happens. But what Tennessee did went way, way beyond. What I think happens in other places. And with regard to Tom Allen, by the way, I did a game up there at Indiana this year and got a chance to visit with Tom Allen quite a bit and got to know him. He's a Newcastle, Indiana guy. His dad was a legendary high school coach up there. He's back home where he wants to be. His dream was to come back to Indiana as a head football coach, and he's living his dream right now. And I think he's perfect for that Indiana program. I don't think he would be at other places, although he's a heck of a football coach.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, guys. Go Vols.
Thanks, Alan. Vince, you got to chime in on that one?
Yeah, I think it's number three as well. I'll put it this way. Everybody breaks rules, but not everybody cheats intentionally. I mean, everybody submits secondary violations, right? And some of those could be very, very simple. And, you know, you went 5 minutes over in a practice or in a film session or you know, just the minor, just a number of minor things. I think there is a gray area sometimes where people will push the envelope a little bit, but it's not outright cheating. I don't think everybody is slipping $100 handshakes and all that kind of stuff. I think there are plenty that do, and even much more than that, but I don't think everybody cheats, but I think everybody to some extent breaks the rules or blurs the rules, similar to your example of the speed limit. I mean, are you a criminal because you go past the speed limit? It's just a fine line in what the definition is there. And, you know, as far as the topic of integrity, I understand where the caller's coming from, but what are they supposed to say?
We cheat, but only at a certain level.
Right. We don't believe in integrity. We really wanted the best cheater that could also win games at the same time. I mean, so is it the most meaningful thing that resonates with everybody? No, because we all know it's a results and money business. Major college athletics, especially football, but they do want to try to move forward and say and separate themselves from those that were attached to these significant, you know, violations. So they want for recruiting, for potential candidates. They want them to know that Tennessee is not about that. They're not saying we're going to hire the one clean coach that exists or one clean AD that exists out there. It's an overall message to try to help them move forward. So I wouldn't put too much stock in that, but bottom line is, what are they supposed to say?
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm Jimmy Himes. We're joined by Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. We'll have one more segment with Doc Punch. Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
Over 20 years of the top-rated afternoon sports show in Tennessee. This is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1, the sports animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Let's work in one more caller, and that's Tim. Tim, you're on with Doc Punch.
Hey, how you doing, Jimmy? Hey, Doc. I got a couple things I want to ask. I understand. I think I understand why. And by the way, I love Philip Fulmer to death. I think I understand why he's stepping down now. But I was just curious of, I wonder why that he would not have stayed on until they found a replacement for him to maybe try to hold some of the kids that we have here that don't want to go into the portal or, you know, or back out of coming here, which I know they'll give them the opportunity to do that under the circumstances. I was curious of why he might not have done that to the point to where until we got another athletic, guy in there.
Well, hold on,
that's
Tim.
One question.
Hold on.
Okay.
My understanding is he is going to stay as the AD until they hire his replacement.
Yep.
Right. He's going to stay on. Yeah, he's going to be here supporting Kevin Steele and the program until they determine his replacement. Yeah, he's going to be here.
Oh.
He promised that he would do that. Yeah.
All right. Yep. I misunderstood that then when I saw it live today. I'm sorry about that. I misunderstood that. That's great. That's great. And the second question, and then I'll jump off here. What do you think about, you think that they might have any interest in David Blackburn?
I don't know. There was a time when I thought he would have been a good hire. I don't know about the situation right now. So to answer your question, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks. Doc, what's on your plate?
Well, I'm fielding a lot of calls from people outside here who want to know about Tennessee, and what I'm hoping to do with the phone calls I'm about to return and people I'm about to talk to is focus forward, and encourage people, and try to discourage people from making Tennessee the butt of a joke because this is not funny. It's serious. It's sad. And as they said in the press conference, it's a dark day, but Tennessee is going to get beyond that. I didn't go to the University of Tennessee, but I have tremendous respect for the passion that the volunteer fans and the Big Orange faithful have. And I hope that they, like I'm going to do on the telephone, will be positive and will try to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. You can't look back. You know, if you look in the rearview mirror and you're in a race car, you're going to hit something. You got to drive through the windshield. So focus forward, help Tennessee move forward, help Philip Fulmer, help Kevin Steele, be encouraging in the community, and because Tennessee's got a lot of good things happening, you know, in basketball and baseball and other sports, and they'll get this right, and I hopefully they'll take their time. And, man, I'm so encouraged again today, being able to hear Chancellor Donde Plowman and President Randy Boyd say what they said. I love the honesty and the openness. And then Philip Fulmer staying on board to be able to make sure or help, if he can in any way, get the right people on board. I think that's what we have to do. So I know I'm probably, Jimmy, you're probably the same as I am. I'm going to be answering a lot of phone calls from national people who call me and want to know about Tennessee, and that's what I'm going to tell them. I'm going to say, hey, you know, it's a great school, great program, and it's a black eye, and these people are gone. I'm angry, I'm embarrassed, but I'm proud of the people that are here that made these decisions and are going to move this university forward.
Doc, I always appreciate you joining us, and thanks for being flexible today, and we look forward to you joining us again next week.
Thanks, Doc.
We'll talk next week, guys, and have a great week.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate that. Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN is appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville, the Fit Specialist.